Okay, yeah. So we're going to start on the mysteries. We'll introduce them again. We'll talk about what a mystery is, what it isn't, why we have a responsibility to steward the mysteries, where that comes from in the Bible. We'll look at some verses about that. And at the end, I'll give you the list of the mysteries so you guys can be aware of them. I think probably most of you guys, I said this on Wednesday night, but if you've been around church for any length of time, you probably are more familiar with them than you think you are. Even though, I mean, do any of you guys know what any of the mysteries are right now? If I just ask you to list off the seven mysteries, does anybody actually know what they are besides Brenda? Okay, so I think once we start talking about them, you guys will be a little bit more, you might surprise yourself at the stuff that you might know about them. But anyways, so the seven mysteries, that's what we're going to talk about today. So what is the definition of a mystery? Anybody remember from Wednesday night? What is a mystery? A biblical definition of mystery?
Something that was unknown in the Old Testament that is known in the New Testament.
Yeah, that's almost exactly what I have on here. A truth that was formerly unknown or hidden, but has now been revealed. So it's not a mystery or mysterious, despite my background on my PowerPoint. It's not something that cannot be known. It's not something that is like impossible to know. It's not God trying to hide things from us. It's nothing like that. It is just something that in the Old Testament they did not know about, and in the New Testament has been revealed. And so we'll talk about some of those things as we get closer. But as Christians, we have a task or a responsibility or a duty to steward the mysteries. Paul talks about that, and we'll look at that in a minute. But we have a duty to steward those things. And so as most of you guys in this room have accepted Christ as your Savior, maybe all of you guys have done that, you have a responsibility to steward these mysteries. Well, how can you steward something if you don't know what you're stewarding? A steward is like a manager or, you know, somebody that's, we're supposed to keep these things and, you know, make sure to teach these things to others. And like, that's our responsibility, but we can't do that if we don't actually know what the things are that we're supposed to be knowing and teaching others. And so, in order to know them, in order to fulfill that responsibility that we have to understand what they are and get an understanding not just of what the seven mysteries are, but of how those things apply and all of those things. So we have a big advantage in this time period that we live in. And so we've talked a little bit, or kind of danced around the idea of dispensations in the Bible and you know, just the advantages that we have since Christ resurrected. We now live in the church age, from, you know, roughly whatever, 33 AD, 35 AD, 25 AD, whatever the date was when he resurrected until today, you know, roughly 2,000 years of history has been the church age. And, you know, things have been different in this time period than any other. And so if you think about, if you would have been born, during Genesis 5, for example, before the flood, you know, you would not have known anything about Jesus Christ. You would not have understood that God had a son that he was going to send to the earth. You would not have known anything about the existence of Israel as a nation. You would not have known anything about the promises that God gave to Abraham regarding the nation of Israel. You would not have known anything about salvation or prophecy. There have been, you know, other than God, you know, prophesying, there was no prophets. There was no judges. There was no kings, at least no kings of Israel. There was no temple. There was no tabernacle. There was no, you know, God dwelling on the earth in any form. You would not have known about the end times and Jesus Christ coming back or the rapture of the church. You would not have understood just the concept of a church or the church age. They would not have had any written word of God. Okay, so all of those things would have been mysterious if you were born in Genesis chapter 5 during that time frame. If you were born during, if you were born during the time of David, you still would have not known anything about Jesus. You would not have known about God's plan for the world. You would not have understood the end times, the church. You would not have been understood the idea of evangelism or, you know, telling others about what you believe. During that time, the nation of Israel was the, you know, only way to God. And so you would not have been, you know, trying to propagate, your beliefs to others. They had a few books of the law, you know, they had Moses' books and things. And a lot of the other books were being written. You know, 1st and 2nd Samuel was being written during that time. A lot of the prophets, were prophesying during that time. But you would not have had, a written Bible of your own for sure. This is a chart that Jim Stovall put together in our Through the Bible stuff. If you have that stuff still, it's in there. We're not going to go over the whole chart, but basically these are all the different prophets of the Old Testament and what events they saw and what events they didn't see regarding the Babylonian captivity, Jesus' birth, the church age, Israel becoming a nation, the Antichrist, the tribulation period, the second coming of Christ, and the millennial reign of Christ. And so if you were to read, you know, like the book of Obadiah, for example, he didn't see any of those things except for the coming of Christ. And, you know, you can look down the line, you can see what God revealed to each of these prophets and what was still hidden from them even. And so each of these prophets had different things that God showed to them. And some of them he revealed a lot of that thing, some of them just a glimpse of it, and all of them used what God was showing them about the end times or about, you know, Christ's birth and things, and tied that into the things that the nation of Israel was going through during that time period. So when they're prophesying about the coming judgment of Israel, they're also prophesying at the same time about the coming judgment in the end times that is yet to come. And so they were prophesying, they were talking about what was actively happening, and they were prophesying about things that were yet to come. And so if you were born during any of these time periods, and you were around the nation of Israel, and you would maybe have interacted with or heard about these guys, you know, you would have maybe had some revelation of what things were yet to come, but you certainly would not have had a real full understanding of it. You know, Paul had not come yet, and, you know, John had not come yet and written the book of Revelation. And so a lot of these things were, you know, in part were revealed to them, but not all. And so still they were mysterious or mysteries to maybe most of the world at that time, even if some of these guys had some understanding. If you were born during the time of Jesus, let's say you were born in Israel during Jesus' time, you probably would have heard of Jesus at that point, but you would not have understood salvation. Think about when Jesus is talking to his disciples. And, you know, he's talking about when he dies and is resurrected. And they're like, what? You're not going to die. You're the Son of God. You know, like they didn't even understand what he was talking about. And even after he died and he rose again in the book of Acts, and he comes to him again, and he's talking to him. Even then, they don't really fully understand the idea of salvation. And he tells them, I'm going to leave the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, with you. And you know, then when Peter is told to take the gospel to the Gentiles, he's like, I don't think that's right. That's not what the Old Testament tells us. And so they would not have understood those things. They would not have understood, you know, the role of the Gentiles in God's plan. Even when Jesus was sending out his disciples, he tells them to go out and only go to the Israelites, right? Don't go to the Gentiles. So for them, the idea of like the Gentiles being the ones to carry on the gospel message after, you know, I mean, really after like the first century, most Christians in the world have been Gentiles. That would have been completely weird for them to think about, the idea that the Gentiles were going to be taking forward the message of Christ and the gospel to the world. That would not have been something that they were able to wrap their minds around. They would not have understood Jesus' second coming. If you think about when he was on the earth, they thought, most Jews thought he was, the ones that believed in him, thought that he was there to, you know, rule and reign. And so they're like, this is confusing. Why are you not ruling and reigning? Aren't we going to take over the world? And they didn't understand that that's the second time when I come back, we're going to have that. They would not have understood the rapture, the tribulation period, the millennium. They would have had the Old Testament, you know, that they would have access to potentially. But they wouldn't have had any of Paul's letters, right? Paul doesn't show up till, you know, a lot of the disciples were already dead, and a lot of those people that were alive at the time of Jesus would have been dead by the time Paul shows up and starts writing his letters, you know, at the end of the first century. And so, you know, they would not have understood those things. And so it's just, we live in a very fortunate time that really since like, you know, the end of the first century, you know, second century time period, when the Bible was finally all put together in the form that we have it now, nobody in history before that time ever had the complete written word of God. And certainly to have it in our language, there's people, I mean, lots of people in the world today that do not have a Bible in their own language. There's lots of people in the world that don't have access to a Bible. Even if it is translated into their language, they don't have access to a copy of it still today. So we live in a very advantageous, a very fortunate time, and a very fortunate location. And we're blessed that we speak English, that we have the King James Bible. You know, certainly our church is minded to get the Word of God into as many people's hands as we can. We have a ministry that does that, but even even at 50,000, 100,000 Bibles a year, I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world, and it's going to take us a very long time to really make a dent in that. And so even like we're putting together 25,000 Bibles to go to Albania, right? We already shipped 12,000, and they shipped, I don't remember how many, John and Romans with that. And they have another 12,000 to go. Even at 25,000, I mean, Albania is a very small country, but there's still a few million people that live there. So, you know, what is 25,000 Bibles going to do to 2 or 3 million people? Plus, that doesn't include who's in Kosovo that also speaks Albanian. And so we're trying to make a dent in this thing, but still, there's a lot of work to be done, right? There's a lot of Bibles that need to be produced. And that's a language that we actually have a good translation for now. There's a lot of them that still don't have that. And so, from about about 75 AD to 100 AD, somewhere in there, when Paul was finished with his writings and John finished writing the book of Revelation, from that time period until now, think about, like, there's no new revelation from God since then. Nothing new has been revealed by God that wasn't revealed, 1900 years ago, give or take the dates. God's not giving any new revelation. Now, we can communicate with God, and through prayer, like, God can speak to us. He certainly does do those things, but it always is going to line up with what we find in the Bible. Think about, like, when you pray and you're asking God for an answer to a question, or an answer to a decision that you're trying to make, you find the answers to that in His Word. Like, that's already been written. And so when we're praying and then we read God's Word, God reveals those things to us. He's not giving us new information, new revelations about Himself. But all the way up, I mean, from the beginning of human history, all the way up until Paul and John finished writing their books, God's still revealing new information to mankind. But He hasn't done any new revelation, despite what some other religions might teach you. There's no new books being written. There's no new things being added. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22 says, "When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." And so God's talking about, if there's somebody that says that they're a prophet from me, this is how you'll know if they're a prophet from me or not. Is if what they say comes true, then that's from me. If what they say doesn't come true, then it's not from me. Like, it's a fairly easy way to break that down. But think about all the prophets in the Old Testament that we know, the ones that wrote books that are in the Bible, that on that slide that we just looked at, all of the things that they prophesied came true or have not yet come true, but are prophesied about future events. During that time, they were not the only prophets that were prophesying, saying, "Hey, this is what God's saying, everybody." There was false prophets at that time. There's been false prophets since that time. There was false prophets. We see them in the book of Acts. We see, even during Jesus' time, there's false prophets. Okay, and so God says, try the things about what you hear by what the Word of God says. That's why we, at this church, we filter, we tell you guys, filter everything that you hear through the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about that issue? Whether it's a political issue, a social issue, just an issue that you're dealing with in your own life, maybe it's a mental issue. Like, filter all of that through the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about those things? Because God's given us these answers. And then Revelation 22:18, he says, so this is like one of the last verses in the entire Bible. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." And so it's a warning to not add anything to the Word of God, right? And there's also warnings about not taking things out of the Word of God. And so we have everything that we're going to get from God as far as a written word. We're not going to get the audible voice of God speaking to us. We're not going to get, a new revelation of Scripture. Like, we have what we have. We're not going to add to it. We're not going to take away from it. Now, certainly God can communicate to us, through the Holy Spirit and things like that, but not in the form of giving us new revelation or something that goes against what the Word of God says. And so, so we have warnings about not adding things or not taking things away from what God had to say in His Word. So having said all of this, the reason I'm going through all of this or to give us kind of an idea of how fortunate we are in the time period that we're born in. You know, the idea of with great power comes great responsibility, right? The Peter Parker thing. The Bible says in Luke 16:10, this was our verse at our vision conference maybe 3 years ago. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And then Luke 12:48 says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. That's the with great power comes great responsibility. That's where that comes from the Bible. And so, so this gives us, because we have the advantages that no one else in human history up until, you know, around 100 AD, everybody since then has had the same, you know, similar advantages to us, not the same ones, but we have the completed Word of God. We have access to it in our language. We can all of us in this room can read, right? We have access to be able to not just have a copy of the Bible, but we can actually read it. That was not always true of mankind. You know, literacy is high worldwide right now. But even just 50 years ago or 100 years ago, before the internet, literacy rates were low in a lot of places in the world. And so even having a copy of the Bible, if you can't read it, what good is that going to do you? You know, even, you know, a few hundred years ago, you know, getting a copy of the Bible in your language would have been reserved for like the elite of the elite that could afford to pay to have a Bible printed. You know, it was not just as easy as, I mean, I don't know how many copies of the Bible I have in my house right now. 15 or 20. I mean, I don't know. Plus, we all have them on our phones and our laptops. So we have access to them in any which way. You know, we can have the Bible read to us from the apps on our phone. You know, we have all kinds of access to different things. And with that power, that ability that we have, the access that we have, comes some responsibility. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what we're going to be talking about. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so we are stewards of the mysteries, and it's required that stewards be faithful. And so that's required for us. If we're going to be stewarding the words of God and stewarding the mysteries of God, we have to be faithful. I wrote in the margins of my Bible, you don't have to be an expert, okay? You don't have to be an expert on everything that the Bible has to say. I don't know if you guys ever talked to, like, Brian Hedges about the book of Revelation or something. You know, I mean, he could talk for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, you know, and just can give all this information and tie in what's going on worldwide right now. He just has, like, a higher level understanding. And when I just talk to him, I mean, if he starts talking to me about that kind of stuff, I'm just like, I can't hardly keep up with where your mind is. I'm not an expert in a lot of those things. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to, you know all the Greek and Hebrew words in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You don't have to study it, you know, study the Bible in a different original language. You don't have to have access to the old manuscripts. You don't have to be somebody like that. You don't have to be more knowledgeable than everybody else. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room. It doesn't say any of that about what a steward has to be. It doesn't say a steward has to be an expert in all things that Paul wrote. It just says that we have to be faithful. Okay? Just show up. Just put in the work. Read your Bible. Be faithful in reading your Bible. And God will reveal to you the things that you need to live your life. The things that you need to be able to share the gospel with people. God will reveal those things to you if you're just faithful. You don't have to be the best person at it. You know, you don't have to be the best evangelist. Just be faithful. Keep showing up. Read your Bible. Pray. Show up to church. Do the basic things. God will give you nuggets here and there along the way. Sometimes you're going to read and you're going to get nothing. Sometimes you're going to pray and you're going to feel like, I don't even think God's listening. Okay? Sometimes you're going to show up to church and you're going to be goofing around all Sunday and you're not going to listen and you're not going to get anything. You're going to forget to write down the notes. You're going to miss the blanks. Okay? That stuff's going to happen. But God's going to give you nuggets from here, you know, from every so often that's going to give you exactly what you need when you need it. And so just be faithful. The steward is supposed to be faithful. All right. So it's important that we recognize our place in human history. It's important that we recognize our place in God's timeline and where we are right now. and understand the duties that are given to us. Some of you guys might think, well, I didn't sign up to be a steward when I got saved. Nobody told me that there was, now I have a job that I have to keep track of and be a steward of the mysteries of God. Okay, that's not something that we're going to, go into on, day one when we're sharing the gospel with somebody. Hey, by the way, if you accept Christ, just so you know, you're going to have to be a steward of the mysteries of God. Okay, that's not something that we really go into, but, the responsibility is ours nonetheless. Okay, God has given us way more than we could ever deserve or earn or whatever. And so if the least thing that we can do is just be faithful, then let's just be faithful. Adam had a responsibility to obey the words of God, to not eat of the fruit, right? Adam didn't ask for that responsibility. Adam was created, and God put him in the garden and said, okay, this is your job. Adam didn't sign up for that. Adam didn't say, okay, God, I'm here now. What should I do? God just said, this is what you have to do. Don't eat of the tree, right? Moses fought with God almost, like argued with him about not wanting the responsibility that God was giving to him. He's like, no, I don't want it. Give it to somebody else. Here's all the reasons why I can't do it. And God's like, great. Tell them that I sent you and you'll be just fine. Okay? Aaron can talk for you if you don't, if you can't figure out the words, but just go. Just go do what I'm telling you to do. He didn't ask for it. David did not ask for the responsibility of killing Goliath. He was just delivering food to his brothers, right? Checking on the status of the war, because that's what his dad told him to do. And he shows up and he's like, well, I guess I'm here now. Now I have a responsibility. I can't listen to this giant defying the armies of God and just go back to my dad and say everything's fine. Okay, I have a responsibility now because I know this information. He didn't ask for it. And so, our duty as Christians, our responsibilities, to be faithful, to show up, to know the mysteries, to share the gospel with people, to, train other people, to learn all the things that we can learn, to apply the things that we are learning, and then to teach other people, here's the things that I know. I don't know it all, but here's some things that I know, and here's what that looked like whenever I learned it and how I applied it in my life. And maybe that's helpful to you, and maybe it's not. Maybe you're going through different things than I went through. But, if there's anything I can do, I'll pray for you. I'll try to learn the answers to the questions if you have them. I just want to invest what I know into you so that you can be where I am and beyond where I am. Okay, that's the duty of a Christian. And so, So even though we didn't ask for this responsibility, we have the responsibility nonetheless. So here's the seven mysteries, okay? The mystery of God in the flesh. Okay, this is where I think you guys will start to understand we know some of these things. We know God was made manifest in the flesh, right? John chapter 1 tells us that was Jesus Christ, right? He sent him to die on the earth, or he sent him to live on the earth, a perfect life, sinless for us, to die on the cross for our sins. Okay, the mystery of God in the flesh. Now we're going to dive into each of these deeper than what I'm just talking about right now. But just a quick glance. Most of you guys could probably show me some verses. You could this one. It's not complicated. Okay, but you're tasked with knowing it and being able to, share it with somebody else, teach them. Number two, the mystery of Christ in the church. Okay, Christ died. He rose again from the dead. And if you accept Christ as your Savior, you're part of the church. Okay? And then when we read Paul's letters, we learn about, the concept of individual churches. Okay? The mystery of Christ in you. What happens when you get saved? The Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. Okay? We have the indwelling Spirit. All of these things were mysterious to people in the Old Testament. Even people alive during Jesus' time, other than maybe the first one, were mysterious to them. Okay? The mystery of Israel's restoration. Okay? In the Old Testament, it's all about Israel. It's almost solely focused on Israel. The only way to salvation, the only way to relationship with God is through Israel. Okay? So when the New Testament comes along and Christ raises from the dead, and God says, okay, we're going to be done with Israel for a little while. Okay? Take the gospel to the Gentiles. We're going to stop focusing solely on the Jews for a little bit. God made promises to the Jews, right? He made promises in the Old Testament to Abraham about the Jews. God cannot break his promises. So just because the gospel is now available to Gentiles in addition to Jews does not mean that God is done with the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. Okay? So God has a plan still for the nation of Israel. So we'll look at that. The mystery of the rapture. I think most of you guys are somewhat familiar with the idea of the rapture, right? One day, we're going to hear trumpets, and we're going to be gone from this earth physically. We're going to be caught up in the air, right? With every Christian who's ever accepted Christ as their Savior, we're all going to be raptured out of here in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. So that was mysterious to people in the Old Testament, okay? Except maybe Enoch. Number six, the mystery of iniquity. We'll talk about that. And we'll be looking at some stuff in Revelation. I'm hoping we're going to spend like 2 weeks covering these seven things. We could spend, multiple weeks on each one probably. And the mystery of Babylon the Great. Again, that's in Revelation. That's dealing with end time stuff. But we'll look at more of those as we get into it. But I think probably, number one, I think you guys know. Number two, I think you guys are familiar with. Three, you're familiar with. Five, you're familiar with. Four, six, and seven might be the three that are the least well-known, maybe, among just your average church-going people. But we'll talk about those. So, takeaways for today. What are we going to walk away with today? So, we're blessed to be born in the time that we're born in. Okay, we have a lot of advantages that people before us have not had. And we take a lot of that for granted, or we take a lot of that, we don't take it as seriously as we ought to, but we have a lot of benefits. You guys that attend this church, you guys are in a Bible-believing church that takes the Word of God, that preaches it every single week, multiple times a week. We have so many ways for people to get involved in ministry activity. We have ways for people to get involved in discipleship. We have ways for people to get involved in learning more about what God might have for them through discipleship, through D2, through How to Disciple. We have a Bible Institute. We have access to a lot of things. You guys specifically have access to a lot of things that have not been accessible for most people throughout human history. So be proud of the fact that you're fortunate and that you're blessed to be born in this time period, in this country, and to parents who either bring you to this church or somehow got connected to this church. Not that this church is necessarily anything special. We're not the only church doing these things. But you're fortunate to be in the place that you are. We have access to God. Think about throughout most of human history, the first 4,000 years of human history, only select people had access to God. I mean, we can talk to Him whenever we want. We can talk to Him as much as we want. We can give Him all of our problems. We can just sit and vent to Him. We can cry out to Him. We can beg Him for things. We can ask forgiveness whenever we want from the comfort of our own home. Okay, for 4,000 years of human history, that was not the case. Okay, you had access through Him, or to Him through, if you were a Jew, you had access to Him through, sacrificing at the temple and through the priests and things. But throughout most of human history, people have not had access to God, certainly in the way that we have access, or we can just boldly barge into the throne room of God and just dump all of our problems out before Him. That's a very fortunate thing. Be grateful for the blessings that we've been given. Don't sit on your hands. This is another takeaway. Don't just sit on your hands and do nothing with the advantages you've been given. Whether or not you ask for them, you have these advantages. And so we have a responsibility then to do something with the advantages that we've been given. Right? We have a responsibility to tell others. We have a responsibility to learn everything that we can learn while we can learn it. Right? 5 years from now, half of you guys will not be attending this church, or maybe any church. I don't know where you guys are going to be. Hopefully you guys are all plugged into a church. But 5 years from now, who knows where you're going to be? All of you guys will be out of high school. Some of you will be out of college. Some of you guys will be married. Some of you guys will have kids 5 years from now. Okay, 5 years seems like a long time, but it's really not that long. It goes by really fast. If you're, 15, you can remember when you were 10, probably, right? When you were in elementary school. If you're 18, you can remember 5 years ago when you were 13, when you were in middle school. Okay, it flies by. And so we have a responsibility to do something with the time that we have while we have it. Because we don't know how much longer we have physically to live on this earth. We don't know how long before the rapture might happen. And we don't know how long we're going to be following the Lord. So do what you can with the time that you have. Take advantage of the opportunities that you've been given. And then the last one is in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. We're not going to read it. But it's the story of the talents, right? And so it's Jesus is telling a story of this master who gives different talents to each of these three guys, and then he leaves and he comes back and he's like, okay, what did you do with the talents that I gave you? And the one guy that he gave one to, what is the guy that got one talent? What does he do with it? Anybody remember? He buried it. Yeah, he said he was afraid. Because he says that he knew that he was an austere man. He was afraid of his Lord. He was afraid of the master. And so he's like, I was afraid to do anything with it. I didn't want to lose what you gave me. So I went and hid it. And here, I brought it back to you again. And the Lord, not God the Father, the Lord, but the master, says, thou wicked and slothful servant. And so it's like, hey, you wasted what you could have done with the talent that I gave you. And that, he says that that's wicked and slothful. Okay, don't be wicked and slothful or lazy with the talent that God's given you. Maybe you don't have as much physical talent, or, you're not as smart as everybody else, or you're not as able as everybody else, or you can't handle as much stress or whatever as everybody else can. That servant who got the one talent still could have invested that. He still could have, the story says, he could have at least put it in the bank and earned some interest on it, right? It still could have been safe and protected. He didn't have to bury it in the ground. But instead he wasted that time, between when the Lord gave it to him and when the Lord returned back to him. The other two servants, right, they invested it and they made money. The 10 made 10 and the 5 made 5. And so what's the response that the Lord gives to those two guys? He doesn't say that wicked and slothful servant. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And so, take the advantages that you've given, or that you've been given, of the talents, whatever level you think you're talented, whatever abilities you think God has given you, whether it's a lot or it's a little. Some of you guys have more, some of you guys have less. But take those things and invest them in things that actually matter. Take them and invest them in things that are going to last forever. There's only two things that last forever: the Word of God and the souls of men. So take your talents, invest them in the Word of God. Read it, study it, learn it, memorize it, write it down. Tell other people about it, right? The souls of men. Tell other people what God has done in your life, and encourage them to do the same, right? And if we do that, then we get to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't have to hear that we were wicked and that we wasted it and we sat on our hands and did nothing with the talent that God gave us. So don't take for granted the benefits and opportunities that we have. We have a responsibility. We are stewards of the mysteries. And we're stewards of other things as well, but for the purposes of this topic, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. So learn these stewards. We'll talk, or these stewards. Learn these mysteries that we're going to talk about, and hide them in your heart. Remember them, and then apply them, and tell others about them. Anybody have any questions? Done on time, plus 60 seconds.